views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio, your guide to practical mindfulness and meditation. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day. Watch yourself connecting in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now here's your hosts, Tim Darter and Steve Kramer.
Hi there, I'm Steve Kramer.
And I'm Tim Darter, and welcome to today's show, where it's going to be on receiving with our guest, Chekhet Anarya. We've had several shows in the past few weeks about yoga, as well as shows in the past few months about children. Today we're bringing them together. Chekhet is a teacher of yoga, and also is the radiant yoga, where she empowers adults to actually share the magical and practical benefits of yoga with children.
Yes, indeed. Chekhet, it's great to have you with us today. Sorry, we're getting a little bit of an echo in the background. Indeed, today we are going to talk about soften, open, and release. That is a step within the practice of living awareness. And it talks so much about opening ourselves up to the fullness of who we are. That basically comes up all the time, it seems, within the practice of living awareness. We had so much fun during the last round with this step. It seemed in the last round several months ago that we had so many singers on the show, and we were talking about receiving inspiration for songwriting. And then we had a sound coach on who was releasing anyone who had sort of a sort of was stuck in their throat and wasn't able to find their voice. The entire show was on releasing one's voice. And it seems that this round of the meditations, we seem to have a lot of yoga people on. And it's because it's so form fit for meditation. Yoga is such a physical sort of way for us to tap into our own awareness and ways that we may be limited and ways to sort of expand upon our awareness. And children are such a way to bring us back to that all the time, bring us back to this presence in the moment, being in the moment. So we thought it would be so fun to have Chekhet on the show. She teaches a form of yoga called Radiant Child Yoga, and she teaches other yoga teachers this technique of teaching children yoga. So welcome, Chekhet. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be with you guys.
Oh, great. It's great to have you sounding clear. We're on the mountaintop, and boy, oh boy, sometimes. So I'm glad you're there. It's so great to hear your voice. So Chekhet, tell us a little bit about Radiant Child Yoga.
So Radiant Child Yoga is a school and a process and a philosophy of children's yoga that has been around for quite a long time. My teacher, Shakta Khalsa, who founded it, has been teaching children's yoga for probably 40, 45 years now. And then based on what she had kind of learned and discovered and just grown through her teaching, created this program in the late 90s. And now there are many, many people who are teaching their classes inspired by this work. And then I think maybe 10 or 12 of us around the whole world globally who are teaching other teachers to share Radiant Child Yoga with children.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So the piece of it that I, there's so many wonderful ways to teach yoga to any age group. I think what keeps me so rooted in Radiant Child Yoga is the really holistic element of it. And that, of course, there's a lot of fun movement and exercises and ways for children to be really in their bodies, but the breath and the spirit component of the practice are really strongly there as well, even for the littlest kids. So it's really deep and fruitful and honestly really fun to teach too.
Well, there's so much juicy stuff to talk about. For instance, we talked last week in the Soften, Open, Receive was the series of meditations that we did through Spirit Fire last week. Mm-hmm. And we spoke to a psychoanalyst and a yoga spiritual teacher who are like a holistic wellness team. They have a wellness center. And it was so much about trying to find what's right for you. What outlet will allow you to receive that which you need to sort of align yourself with yourself? Mm-hmm. And I find what's so beautiful about yoga is there's so much letting go. There's so much releasing. You know, when we're doing poses, we realize that really it's not about holding a pose. It's about letting yourself go into the pose. And it's so much about a return, I find, that releasing has much to do with, I would say, a return to our wholeness. So as adults, yoga can be so useful because we all need to find that return to ourselves. For whatever reason, somehow life and sort of modern living and all of the responsibilities of an adult sort of sometimes has us a little bit at times away from that, like, are feeling our wholeness and feeling our presence. So then bring on yoga for kids. I would imagine that kids, it's almost about maintaining that presence and even expanding upon that presence and having kids understand what is that presence of releasing to the now, because kids are there so often. They're kind of there. So maintaining, expanding, and sort of understanding who they are. Is that really at essence what's happening in these classes?
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, with children, so much of what happens in a class is supported by the teacher doing exactly this, softening and opening. And I would bring in that word flow, which I actually think you just used as well. And that that supports the children's, reinforces and supports that openness that they kind of naturally have. And whether you're doing it really explicitly or just through your teaching of the class and your support of them, letting them know that's a good thing and celebrating it. And I was thinking, as you were talking, you know, kids generally, I mean, to generalize, love surprises, right? So kind of in life or in a class or whatever it is, it's like, oh, we're going here now. This is amazing. You know, we're going to take this inner journey, or we're going to do some yoga poses and imagine we're on an adventure in the jungle. And I feel like a lot of adults, honestly, myself included, we don't like surprises so much because we've like kind of taken ourselves out of that place of opening and softening. So we've got a plan, and it's very jarring to us when something happens outside, quote unquote, of that plan. So it's really interesting to see with kids the flexibility, no pun intended, but really the flexibility around what's going to happen, and even beyond that, the celebration of it. It's like, I don't know what's happening next, and that's a beautiful thing. I've never been in this exact moment before, and that's a beautiful thing. Go ahead. Yeah.
So often, how many of us can say that and really mean it and feel it? I love that, that I've never been in this exact moment. That is true for all of us. And every single human being that's conscious on this earth has never been in this moment before. But yet we want to control things all the time. And that doesn't allow for much spontaneity or wonder. You know, wonder is one of my most favorite words in the world. And to have a sense of wonder in one's life can be big, can be small. It doesn't necessarily take, you know, a trip to Thailand to generate a sense of wonder. But what it does take is an openness to the moment. And it takes the ability to flow with that which is new. And interestingly enough, that's a step of the practice right before soften, open, and receive. So we have to learn how to flow. Then we have to learn how to receive. And then so release really completes that, I think. So, you know, there actually is the flow from opening and releasing. So I find, as you were saying, that I kept thinking of the words wonder, and another word that we use constantly all the time which is reverence. And that seems to come so naturally to kids, right? Reverence, huh?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I love that these two steps go in the order that they do, because it resonates so much with me, because if we don't go through that step of receiving, as teachers, if we don't go through that step of receiving first, it makes it really hard to hold space for this softening and opening and allowing and welcoming and all of that stuff that goes along with working with a really connected, varied group of children. So as from a teacher's point of view, that was really fascinating to me, that kind of, you know, find your own, find your way first, you know, find a way to receive before you try to kind of open up and give.
Well, what must be so great for you is when you say the word teachers, it sparked in me that we're all teachers. These little kids, I can imagine during a class, are teaching you plenty and are teaching any adult who might be in that class with them, must be teaching them plenty. We have so much to learn by having children around us who will remind us of just the exquisiteness and the fullness of every single moment. Mm-hmm. And we forget that all the time. It's why I think we're really constantly coming back to yoga in this sort of round and series of meditations, is it's just so applicable. And anybody who's been in a class or hears the language, all of the language you're using is just can be laid right on top of the language we use about meditation. So, Chekha, we're going to go to a break in a minute. But as you were talking about steps following steps, it makes me really want to know what one of these classes looks like. Because kids are a really different sort of animal. You know, their presence in the world, and I'm sure their presence in a yoga class is very different than being in an adult class. And so we're going to go to a break. And when we get back, I'd love to hear about what a class looks like. So listeners, I hope you'll join us when we come back, more on softening, opening, and receiving with Chekha Antifrenario.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue. The conversations will become stronger and the healing epic.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Shine on Radio. Find Your Shine with Kelly is the show that celebrates what makes you, you. Join co-hosts Kelly Wadler and Dr. Pat Basile as they break down how to brilliantly fuel and move your body and love what makes you shine. Kelly is a professional arts and wellness coach dedicated to helping brilliant women find their confidence, energy, self-love, and shine. Tune in to Shine On Radio with Kelly and find your shine on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now through March for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
1230 WBLQ.
Hi, welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. And right before the break, we were talking with Cheka about yoga for children. And we were just about to hear what one of those classes looks like. So Cheka, help us out. What is it? What happens in one of those classes?
Yeah, great. So I work with all different age groups, because as you can imagine, classes can look very different. But I think it's most helpful maybe to talk about the younger kids, because once you get into the teen years, it can look a little more similar to an adult class. But like oftentimes the thing that people are really curious about and kind of wondering about is what this will look like for a really small child. So
yeah, Cheka, I just want to say that I'm almost picturing like a playroom. I'm sure it's not that at all. That might be naive, but I can imagine people are thinking, well, yoga, you know, is so controlled and sometimes kids aren't. So yeah, how does that go?
So, you know, every week I teach at a couple of preschools. And what's really nice about that is I can visit the different age groups in the school. And so there's certainly something, you know, attention span is a real thing. So I can go to the different groups of children and give them just the right amount of kind of structured yoga time that is appropriate for them. So for my toddlers, I'll go in for between 15 and 20 minutes. But what's amazing, and probably many of us have been at one time or another in a preschool classroom, but maybe not. You know, usually there's a lot of different kind of stations, there's eating tables, and there's toy sections and all this different stuff going on. And what is actually amazing is, you know, a lot of what we were talking about before in terms of just allowing kids to be and actually observing them and picking up on their energy and their lessons. If you go and sit down, you know, maybe in their rug and their circle area, and just kind of be, oftentimes the kids will just come. So, and that can happen amazingly even the first time that you are teaching a group of children, because they're so energetically tuned in to what's going on that they often don't even need to be explicitly told, like, this is a place to gather, something's going to happen, this is a place of curiosity. It's kind of amazing. So once the kids are there, I usually like to open with some breath work with the kids. So in yoga, that would be pranayama. And sometimes I might use that word if the kids are a bit older. But this is always a really powerful part of the class. And it's amazing to see, especially with a very young child, sort of the connection that they'll get. So usually I have some sort of visual cue, like I might have a feather or a pom-pom, something that they can use their breath with, and the object will react to it. So they blow on the feather, and we might blow soft and we might blow hard. And what I always see this kind of spark or this light go off in a child is for them to recognize, even a, you know, maybe a 14-month-old child, year and a half, that they are interacting with the world through their breath. And one of the reasons I think this is really powerful is because children in their first couple of years of life go through this major and sometimes traumatic process of kind of sorting out that they have their own body and being and autonomy. Because that's something when they're born that they're not really, you know, quite aware of. They're feeling that kind of oneness with everything that's around them. And so as they're feeling that identity, that self that they're embodied in, to then have an experience where they say, okay, here's myself. Here I am interacting with the world. Here's my power and my prana and my identity. It's pretty amazing. So now that happens for like 30 seconds and I just talked about it a lot, but,
Chuck, that's beautiful. Okay. Yeah. First of all, I have had chills twice just from everything you're saying. Yeah. I don't know why this just all gets me so revved up, but can I just backtrack? And first of all, this fact that you would sit down with an intention, okay, you go into a room with kids with an intention and you sit down. You know that the intention is to get a group together and we're just going to explore energy. We're going to explore ourselves. We're going to be together and explore movement and flow. And the fact that children are so clairsentient that they pick up on that and just move toward you. You know, I saw it so clearly when you said that, is just beautiful. May we all have, or not have, may we release sort of our own sense of control in our own lives to be open to sort of following instinct, allowing ourselves to connect to another in a way that we follow their intentions. Just that alone is so beautiful to sort of inspire that in children and have them be aware that that's a choice they made and an awareness that's innate to them. So right there, that's awesome. And yeah. Second of all, having pranayama with kids again just gave me, you know, gives me goosebumps because it's so simple that we are breathing all day long. We breathe, we don't stop breathing or we stop being. And we just don't acknowledge it. And to have children at that age realize the power of their breath. And what I also hear is you're also teaching them a bit about self-observation. I mean, that's how consciousness, we are literally consciousness informed. So consciousness can observe itself. I mean, we are the reflection of that. And that's a little esoteric, but that's the way I go. But it's just so beautiful what you are providing to these kids. It's only 30 seconds, but it's profound. So, okay, I'm done. But I just think it's all so beautiful. And what I love about doing this show, and I say it on almost every show, is that I love that we are showing ways in which people in just their everyday expressing what they know, doing what they love. You know, we really are all facets of just, we are all teachers and we are just always giving beautiful gifts to each other. And I love bringing that out into the forefront. So go on, Cheka. Back to what class looks like.
No, I just as an aside to kind of add to that, one of the things I talk about a lot with children's yoga versus adult yoga, and it's all wonderful, in my experience of teaching all of them, all of those types of yoga, children, even very young children, they take these practices, these pranayamas, meditations, and asana more into their, I shouldn't say more. It's more and more natural and just, of course, this makes sense for oftentimes for children to bring those practices into their daily life than it is for adults. And in adult class, the teachers talk about it a lot and that's great, you know, and those seeds get planted and it sort of happens eventually. But with children, you oftentimes don't need to even make the suggestion. They, when they are stressed out in their day-to-day life or they're overwhelmed, they'll start breathing. And I mention it now because I find it's the breath that is the first, it's the first thing. They think, or they don't even think, they just understand in yoga class, they felt better when they took a deep breath. So they take a deep breath in their life. It just happens. I hear that from parents over and over and over again.
And just to be clear, you say that you hear from parents that they do that naturally. It's innate in them. Is that what
you're saying? That's right. They say, you know, just they'll be like, I've literally heard this from a parent about a fight between siblings where one of the ones who was taking yoga with me said, I just have to stop and take a deep breath.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Music to my ears.
Yeah.
And so you must be, well, another aside, I won't go down another tangent, but you know, that's the first, that's, you know, within the practice, tip of the nose is really where we're teaching people before we teach them about flow, that really you can always come back to the breath. You can take refuge in that choice to come back to noticing the breath and what it will do for the body. And then we move to flow, and then we move to open, and then we move to release. And, you know, I'm curious, we have about another minute before we go to a break. I'm curious, so when you're teaching them pranayama, does it go beyond that? Does it go just a little bit into what they might be learning from what, you know, does it go there, or does it just show them that the breath is accessible to them?
With the older children, and I'm talking older, like 4 and up, I will start talking in detail about what these different pranayamas are actually designed for and how they can serve us, whether we need to energize, calm down, cool off, warm up, that sort of thing. So yes, I do go into more explanation as soon as they get a little bit older to comprehend that.
I see. So it comes with age. So, hey, Jackie, we're actually at the break, and I'm so excited to continue this conversation. We are going to go to a break. We'll be right back with Spirit Fire Radio.
I lost that love before. Got mad and closed the door. But you said, child, just once more. I chose you for the one. Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind.
What if we really didn't have to die to go to heaven? Are you curious about the afterlife or rebirth? The highly anticipated new book from author Dr. Susan Allison, You Don't Have to Die to Go to Heaven, is available now. Find out how to find guidance and healing in the spirit realms. Order the book today and put it on your must-read list for 2016. Visit drsusanallison.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Tim Darter.
And I'm Steve Kramer.
Join us on Spirit Fire Radio. Discover how to add the mechanics of meditation to your day.
And watch yourself connect in a whole new way. Find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. for your weekly guide to practical mindfulness. And to learn more, visit www.spiritfireradio.com.
Do you want the freedom to spend more time with your loved ones? Travel the world? Live spontaneously? Get ready, because the Chip Justice Show is here. Hosts Dr. Pat Basile and Chip Justice can help you build meaningful success while embracing life. Living a life you love is the end game in this new, inspirational, and empowering show. Positive changes for a life you'll love. Tune in every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit PositiveChangeInstitute.co for more information.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
to Spirit Fire Radio. We are having fun today talking about a wonderful tool within the practice of living awareness, which is Spirit Fire's meditation practice. And that tool is softening, opening, and releasing. And we're talking to Checa Antifrenario about radiant child yoga and releasing our own inner radiance. For the last half hour, we've been just really talking about what makes children so unique and ways in which we can sort of release the control and sort of find ourselves back to that state of wonder and excitement and really presence that children find so easily. Now, Checa teaches, she teaches teachers to teach radiant child yoga. And before the break, we were talking about these specific classes. We were sort of wondering, what does a children's yoga class look like? And we're about halfway through a class, yoga, or Checa, I think. So can you, let's just continue on. I'm curious, again, what does this class look like? I think we were at pranayama.
Yeah, so we were talking about a toddler group, and I had explained about how we would teach some breath work or pranayama with them. And then from there, we would move into some exercises or poses or asana. I mean, I don't like to kind of box them into one category. So it's movement. It's the movement part of yoga. And we do a lot of songs. Side note, if you do want to teach children yoga, it's good to be comfortable singing. but you know, even with that, I try to have an arc to the class somewhat so that we start, just like in an adult yoga class, with some more kind of warming and gently opening movement before we get into the really expansive kind of movements. And then as we are finishing that, we return down back to the rug or back to the floor with some more, kind of cocooning or closing postures, to lead us into rest. And for rest, just like with the pranayama, you know, it's brief. I might have them on their backs or doing what I call candlestick pose, which is essentially with their legs up in the air, laying on their backs, which for a young child is not only a prelude to rest, but it's core work and it's an inversion. So we do that. And then once we're all settled, we'll have stillness and quiet for about 30 to 60 seconds. And it's actually, the language I use when children, even toddlers, are in that resting position, that shavasana, that deep relaxation, is really amazingly similar to what I would say to adults, truly. The cueing around, this is the release of effort. This is the release of agenda. I might not use the word agenda, but, you know, the release of trying, and you are busy all day long, and this is a time when you get to do nothing but rest.
And how do they do with that? Pretty well?
Yes. Yes. This is something where I myself, having done this for quite a while, continue to be amazed that children across the board, I mean, all the age groups, crave the quiet and the rest and the shavasana more than almost anything else. It's not to say that it's always easy for a child. It's not always easy for an adult either. But an adult, even when they're having the most difficult time in shavasana, might stay there because of the sort of social norms around not getting up in the middle of shavasana. But so it's not to say that there are days when children just can't be in that space. But overwhelmingly, they enjoy that space. And you'll have... We have different ways we come out of shavasana. We might rub our hands together or different things to come out. And it's kind of amazing. Sometimes you'll watch the group and you can see that there might be several kids who actually could stay there longer and are coming out sort of reluctantly, but due to the having to address the group and in its entirety, you know, we might come out after a reasonable amount of time. But yeah, it's wonderful to see. And of course, yoga is designed that way. It's designed to give us an opportunity to move and feel comfortable and at peace in our bodies so that we can rest, so that we can meditate, so that we can be quiet. So you see that working with children and in a kind of attention span or relativity sense, it makes sense that, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of breathing and moving for children leads to 30 to 60 seconds of Shavasana, just as 70 minutes of breathing and movement for adults leads to 5 minutes of Shavasana. It kind of all works.
Beautiful. You know, and I was just thinking of kids today, in that they're so open to receive themselves. I can imagine that with this hectic world around us, I mean, adults these days, come on, we're all drinking coffee, like way too much coffee all the time. So you imagine that these parents who are working like crazy, they're on their devices. You know, there's not a lot of downtime for kids to receive. I know when I was a kid, my mom loved to read, and I was always sitting around a house that I understood when she was reading, it was quiet time. And I made sure that the activities that I enjoyed that were quiet were done at that time. It all seemed to fit. And there was a flow to our day as a result of that. And I was very aware of that in my life. And I have a feeling today, kids just don't get that at home. I mean, we are in a culture that is nonstop. So it brings me to one other question. You know, as you say about attention and kids needing that, I'm wondering, I know that I've seen on the website when I did a little research into Radiant Child that it's very helpful for kids on the spectrum. We've done a number of shows on autism, and I don't necessarily want to go too deep into it, but certainly these kids have so much to teach us about our own response, our own response ability, our ability to respond, about the choices we make, about being sensitive to them and being sensitive in the world. What do we put out there? How are we even responsible for the environment we're creating and the children we're creating as a result of that environment? I am going there.
Yeah.
But I know that this is used, you know, this technique is quite useful with children on the spectrum, and I can imagine their caregivers. So I'd love to hear just a little bit about the ways in which that's used.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought it up and brought it up in that way, because something that I feel really strongly about is that children who are on the spectrum, children who have different ways of interacting with the world and of taking in sensory information are actually teaching us so much, because many times these children are, I don't want to use the word rejecting, because that implies some sort of like intentionality behind it, but they are not fitting into or confining themselves to the quote unquote norms of how we react to this world and of how we take in what's around us. So it gives us an education in understanding that everybody interacts with the world differently. It gives us permission to interact with the world in the way that really is natural to us. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that kind of goes back to the prior thing that you were mentioning about home environments and when kids have space and time for yoga and meditation at home, that it can really make a difference. And so I see oftentimes like parents who are raising children who are on the spectrum or have sensory integration differences are sort of on the leading edge of this. Like they're the ones I often see who at home are doing meditations with their children and taking yoga breaks and really bringing in these strategies, these ancient strategies, but that are having, I would say, sort of a renaissance, I like to think anyways. And it's really amazing to see that. So I hear what you say. I'm in your same generation. We had more quiet time when we were kids, and then technology's just had this huge explosion and people have gotten really busy. But I do see a return to that happening in some very mindful families, and it's really inspiring.
So are there classes built around that are literally built for children on the spectrum?
Yes, there are. They're a little bit harder to find in terms of just like a public class offering, but they are out there. But what's happening, which is awesome, is that this yoga and meditation are appearing a lot more in occupational therapy and in even in IEPs and different places that children on the spectrum are receiving guidance. Right. Yoga is coming into those spots.
And I would imagine that it's that very, because it's a conscious environment. I mean, make no mistake, when we are going to create a space for, you know, for release and for all of these sort of energetic awarenesses, it's a very controlled space. And so I'm sure that immediately they respond to that and respond beautifully. And And so just quite literally, hooray for that. And so then you move on to older kids. So what age group do we see that like, for instance, a teenager might move into an adult class? Where do they stop being a radiant child and become a radiant adult?
Yeah, I think it's individual. You know, I'm kind of laughing to myself because sometimes you meet a 7-year-old that, like, you know, I'm like, you could come to my vinyasa class and you'd love it, you know? And sometimes there might be a teenager who really is still resonating more with what we would call children's yoga. So I think it's pretty individual. And, you know, any time in sort of the teen years, like 15 and up, might be a time where a child feels drawn to an adult class. But, it, you know, I think it's more than just the class itself. I think it's about who's there. And I think there's something really powerful, actually, especially for like 12 to 18, of being in a room full of other people your age bracket doing yoga in a very non-judgmental and non-competitive environment. I mean, that's something that is really a safe space about yoga. And once I'm teaching kids that are kind of ages 10 and up, I am very explicit about that. This is a safe space. This is a supportive community. This is a place where everyone can completely be themselves, and we are competition free. And I might be overzealous about stating that, but I do feel like it's really important to make that clear about a yoga practice, because the fact is there are postures, there is a strength element and flexibility that is part of the movement in yoga. And I just want to make it really clear that that's not, not a competitive sport, you know?
I would say that is essential. And I would hope that every yoga instructor makes a point of that, because it might be something that people only recognize subconsciously. The bottom line is, until we all learn to check in with each other, until we learn how to be one group consciousness, until we learn how to create space and acknowledge one another and not be in a place of competition, we're going nowhere fast, you know. And that is what is so beautiful about yoga, and why I love these conversations that do tend to, around yoga, it has so much to do with building in group. Last week when we talked to Lauren and Ben, Lauren is a psychoanalyst, and what's so beautiful about the holistic work they do is you'll see teens who are in a group environment where it's about really sort of what are their problems? What do they want to talk about? Are they being heard? How can they support each other? There's a lot of amazing work being done in that, but move that same energetic into something that's building awareness. Not that that's not building awareness, but that's fun and that's a release, and that has to do with building camaraderie. Not that that doesn't, but do you see what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not that we're working out problems, but we're actually reinforcing the beautiful sort of state that we're in as a group and reinforcing that.
Right.
I just love that aspect of group, which leads me. So what's the spiritual aspect? I don't want to so put you on the spot here, but, you know, I know you said a couple times that this is a spiritual practice. So for these teens, for these toddlers, and even for you, what are they getting out of this that you see as spiritual? Now, I mean, it's a little bit of a trick question, but what is that? And for you, I'd love to hear after that, you know, a bit about, you know, what it means to you spiritually, yoga.
Yeah. Well, you know, my personal understanding, and I'm sure everyone has their own kind of expression of this, but my personal understanding within the mind-body-spirit practice, or within the mind-body-spirit practice of yoga, because that's what I know, is that, you know, we've got our mind, we can feel and understand that there are thoughts and fluctuations there. We've got our body, and we've got our spirit. And the spirit is sort of everything else. And I like to talk about it in that way because I want people to feel free to understand it and feel it in a personal matter, whatever the age group. So I see a lot of this in meditation. And since we were talking about toddlers before, I hadn't really gotten too deep into meditation, because a lot of what I would do with them would be like affirmations and songs and things like that. But again, as soon as kids are really able to kind of listen to and understand this idea, I start to talk to them a lot about their inner knower. And that's a term from Radiant Child that comes from my teacher, Shakta. And it's a really powerful phrase for children, because it's not thinking. It's not about thinking. It's about knowing. And this is when I talk about this with kids, I'm like, these are things that you know inside that nobody taught you, that you don't have to think about. It's just a knowing, and it lives deep within you. And if you get really quiet, you can listen to it, and you can help it. You can allow it to help you solve problems and feel better. And that to me, is a way to allow kids to embrace their spirituality or their spirit. And it's really amazing to see when children grasp that, which isn't as hard as you would think, and kind of go inside and feel themselves. And what we talked about at the very beginning of the conversation, this idea that children come into the world, you know, feeling oneness, feeling connected to what's around them, and then they can kind of go back in and, like you said so eloquently, kind of sustain that and preserve that, I think is what's important. And that is that really, I mean, we teach what we know, and we teach what we practice and what makes sense for us. And that's exactly for me how spirituality functions. You know, I feel like it is this kind of well that I have within me that, until I started practicing yoga, was pretty much sealed off. I mean, it wasn't that I was unkind or that I was unconscious, but I every challenging situation in my life sort of immediately rose to like a panic level, because I didn't feel like I had a well to draw from within me. And yoga has totally changed that. So on my best days, my first response to a challenging situation is to go inward and feel that capacity, feel what is not my mind and what is not my body, and all that strength and stability and resource that I have. And on my not best days, sometimes it's the fourth or the fifth thing I do after I panic a little bit, but it's still there.
I guarantee that you breathe right after the panic. You've learned that. You know, what I want to say, the reason I said it's a trick question is because everything is spiritual. You know, if we are tapping into our inner sense of knowing, no matter what your choice, what your intention, what your physical response, what your thought, what your emotional response, it's all spiritual in nature, because you are operating from your heart. And I love that you mentioned about not thinking, but knowing. And guess what the next step is on the practice of living awareness? It's heart-mind. And that is that connection of, when do we stop using our mind and actually go from our inner heart, and we sense that which we know. And that is essentially heart, mind. And so I love that you say that, and that basically it's all spiritual when you're operating from that sort of platform, which I love. So Chekka, you know, we're kind of getting toward the end of the show, and we haven't even talked about your amazing retreats. Now, I just want to say to our listeners, because I'll sum it up quick, you know, Chekka has spent so much time in Hawaii. We had a wonderful conversation about Costa Rica. I myself can go on for hours about New Zealand. The beauty that is nature. And I know that you've been to Spirit Fire. You've experienced just the pristine nature and what it means for people to be in a retreat and actually be able to go from a yoga class or go from a meditation and go for a walk in nature and see how quickly you connect and how quickly all of the lessons you learned on your interior are reflected in the exterior world that's around us every day. So I'd love to, if you would just tell the listeners a little bit about, you know, we have a few minutes to talk about your relationship to your retreats and nature and what you've got coming up at Spirit Fire, because I just love your practice and so want everyone to know the ways that you engage in that.
Yeah, I mean, you said it really well. I think, and I actually, I wish I had written it down, because I try to describe that about why yoga on retreats and why yoga retreats are so powerful, even just, you know, a weekend, which is what we have coming up at Spirit Fire. But that's it. It's because when the yoga class, the meditation is treated as like the a part of a whole, and the whole being about nature and nourishment and community. It's almost like the power of it, that practice, is amplified, as opposed to when, you know, we're rushing off to a studio to do a 1 hour noontime yoga class and then back to work. And that's not to say that the latter is not wonderful. I mean, thank goodness we can do that. But I think for anybody who has been practicing yoga on a regular basis and hasn't had this like wonderful and luxurious opportunity to go immerse themselves wherever it might be, you know, for a couple of days, will kind of understand what we're talking about after they do that. So it almost just like amps it up. And I just think, you know, in terms of nature, it's something where it's almost hard for me to be objective about nature because it's such a huge part of my life.
I will have to say, Jekka, that every time I see a picture of you, there is a gorgeous landscape behind you, be it Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Hawaii. So right on. Just no joke there.
Yeah, it is. But, I, you know, I just feel like it is my preferred way, and I love to share this with people, to put everything in perspective. You know, our lives are important, and lots of things happen in our daily lives every day, good things, challenging things, wondrous things. But to stand on the earth or look up at the sky or feel the wind and realize where you are, I mean, it just kind of, whoa, it makes you feel both small in a way that takes some of that weight off of your shoulders, and also so expansive because you are part of this giant universe. And so I think that is what it does for me.
Well, that is beautifully said, and I wish I had written that down. And you know, is that not the experience of yoga? We at once feel completely immense and integrated into all that we are on our insides, become so fantastically connected to our physicality and our place in the space around us and all that we are in the world. And we feel like from that point and that moment, our expression is completely 100% uniquely ours. So Jekka, we're at the end. Thank you so much for, you know, everything you said about children. May it all remind us. And Tim, yes, I see Tim. Well,
where's a website that people can learn about what you're doing with Radiant Child Yoga?
So all of my offerings, my retreat in May coming up at Spirit Fire, my trainings, etc., are on my website, which is chekayoga.com. So it's chekayoga.com.
Beautiful. Excellent. And you know, you can check that out on Spirit Fire's website too, spiritfire.com, and upcoming retreats. And you know, for those of you listening, try a meditation. We are, the theme this whole week has been soften, open, and release. Those meditations are free at livingawarenessmeditation.net. And you can find links to all of that at Spirit Fire Radio. Jekka, I can't wait to be with you this spring in person. And it's been so much fun. Great, wonderful discussion. So we thank all of the listeners for joining us, and we'll see you next week on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to meditation and living with awareness. Join hosts Tim Darter and Steve Kramer and discover the ways that consciousness is being cultivated in everyday life. Connect to your day in a whole new way and find the amazing moments in life's routines that often pass us by. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more about Spirit Fire, visit spiritfireradio.com.